why would I want to be swift to hear God's word? Well, by listening to God's word, we receive knowledge. In Ephesians 5:17, therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Meaning there's wisdom and understanding from listening to God's word. In John 8, verse 32, Jesus said, you shall know the truth. The truth shall set you free. Meaning listening to God's word puts us on the right track. Listening to God's word gives us direction. It provides spiritual and scriptural knowledge. It sets us free when we know that which is truth. In Acts 20, verse 32, so now, brethren, I commend you to God and the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. God's word supports us, especially in time of need or hardship or struggles. The value of God's word. All of these benefits or blessings. Amen. In Romans 1, verse 16, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God unto salvation. So I want to listen to God's word for my salvation, so I can flee from the wrath of God. Salvation. In Romans 10, verse 14, Paul asked the question, how can you believe in him whom you've not heard? Verse 17, so faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Some of them might say, well, I want my faith to increase. Then spend time in God's word. Faith comes by hearing, hearing the word of God. How can you believe in somebody you haven't heard? I'd like to know more about Jesus. Get yourself in the word of God. I want to be strengthened in my trials. Go to God's word. All these values, blessings, the ability of God's word. Yeah. And we're admonished. I put this one in your notes just because of those familiar words. Take heed. First one in Luke 8, verse 18. Therefore, take heed how you hear. In Mark 4, verse 24, he, meaning Jesus, said to them, take heed what you hear. And the Hebrew writer said in chapter 2, verse 1, therefore we must give the more earnest heed to the things that we've heard, lest we drift away. So again, the value of God's word, it supports us, sustains us. All these things, we receive knowledge, understanding. It gives us liberty. It builds us up. It sanctifies us. It has the salvation message. And it gives us faith. And the list goes on. So we wonder, why do we encourage Bible study, Bible class? You know, the value of God's word. Be swift to hear it. To hear it. You know, lean, sit up straight, lean in when it's there. Number four and five, I put, you know, the right response and the wrong response. The right response, here are some characteristics if you're going to be a good hearer or a good listener. Number one, you're going to rejoice when you learn God's word. I would hope you would. And when the Gentiles heard the good news in Acts 13, verse 48, it says they were glad and glorified the word of God. Oh, I want to rejoice. Oh, it's time for Bible study? Oh, put on a happy face. I was glad, the psalmist said, when they said, let's go into the house of the Lord. I was glad. I hope when you get up on Sunday mornings that you see that as a glad time. Well, today is a time for assembly. Today is a time we get to go for Bible study and worship and all these good things. I was glad. I'm glad for an opportunity to hear the word of God. Oh, I'm glad. Then the right response is to respond. In Acts 2, verse 41, those that gladly received his word were baptized. Gladly received his word. Yeah, let's take it to heart. In Acts 26, verse 19, Paul's giving his defense before King Agrippa, said, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. No. He was told to go to the house of Ananias, and Ananias would tell him what to do to be saved. And he was not disobedient to that vision. And he was baptized. So when we hear, when we think about being swift to hear, what's the right response to that? I'm glad to hear God's word, and I want to respond to it correctly. Do what it says. I want to repent at the instruction of God's word. God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And in verse 38 of Acts chapter 2, when they heard what they cried out, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins and to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Because to use the promise, and your children, all that are far off, which means the Lord our God shall call. With many other words, he testified, exhorted, save yourselves from this crooked or untoward generation. King James has the word untoward, meaning right now, without Christ, you are not going toward anything of value or eternal value. This untoward generation. Then those that gladly received his word were baptized. And you have to research the message you hear. In Acts 17, verse 11, these were more noble of Bereans than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. You don't have to take my word for what I preach. Open the book. Search the scriptures to see, to make sure that the things that I say are so. These people were looking at Paul and Silas preaching to them. Oh, wait a minute, Paul and Silas. Let me look that up. Let me make sure. Let me see if what you're preaching is scripture, is right. That's the right response to God's word. I want to be sure that what you're being taught is biblical. It's grounded in the text. That's the right response to God's word. Then I just put kind of an aside. I didn't put this in your notes. It's in mine. In Proverbs 1 verse 7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Oh, be wise. Right response, rejoice, respond, repent, research. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. The last one, number 5, is the wrong response. So spiritually speaking, I kind of think, some people are just hard of hearing. What's the wrong response? A couple places. I've written these verses down already in my notes. In Zechariah 7, verse 11, Zechariah is the prophet, delivering God's message. But they refused to heed. And the actual phrase is, they shrugged their shoulders, stopped their ears so that they could not hear. I haven't seen anybody in an audience that I've preached at do these things. Now, I've seen some people kind of duck their head behind someone in front of them so they don't catch my eye. I've seen some people, I think they just want to convince me they're just meditating. They're just listening with their eyes closed. No, that's all. But I haven't really seen anybody shrug their shoulders or shake their head this way, that way. In Ezekiel 33, beginning of verse 30, where Ezekiel said, please come and hear what the word is that comes from the Lord. So please, please come and hear. So they come to you as they come to you as peoples do. They sit before you as my people, and they hear your words, but they do not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their hearts pursue their own gain. Make a pretense. Brian, I'm listening. I'm even leaning forward. But they don't do. They don't do it. That's discouraging. Jesus said in John chapter 6, verse 66, or the phrase is, from that time many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. And the context is right before this verse, Jesus was giving some lessons, and the disciples, or some did, the multitude responded, that's a hard saying. Those are hard words, Jesus. And so because they didn't like what Jesus had to say, they went back and walked no more with him. So then Jesus said to those that remain, Do you also want to go away? Peter answered, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. That's a great response. If I leave Jesus, if I leave the Word of God, to whom or to what will I go? But some did that. When Stephen preaches to the council, the Jewish council in Acts chapter 7, he reviews their history. And when they heard how they had rebelled against God and didn't always listen to the prophets, it says they were cut to the heart and they gnashed at him with their teeth. No one's ever done that to me either. I haven't experienced gnashing of teeth on my body from my preaching. Wrong response. Then Paul warns in Acts chapter 20, verse 29, Paul said, I know after my departing, savage wolves will come in among you, and not spare the flock. And from among your own selves, men will rise up and speak perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. There'll be some that purposely say the wrong thing to draw away people from the truth. Wrong response. Paul said in 2 Timothy 4, verses 1 through 5, I'll just key on middle verses, said the time will come when they'll not endure sound doctrine. Uh-oh. Wrong response. I don't want to hear sound doctrine. I don't want to hear what the Bible says. Probably the reason is, if I hear what the truth of the Bible is, I may have to make a change. I may have to stop doing what I've been doing. I may have to, I've been worshiping incorrectly. I'm going to have to do it this way now. Oh, I don't know. Don't give me sound doctrine. Paul said, told Timothy, the time will come. They'll not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, having itching ears, they'll heap up for themselves teachers. In other words, I'm going to find a teacher that tells me what I want to hear, not what I need to hear. I'm going to heap for myself. I'm going to find somebody that is preaching or teaching what I like or that suits my taste. Says, so then they'll heap for themselves up for themselves teachers. They'll turn away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But it's not the truth of the Word of God. It's a fable. Last one I put in my notes just in closing. In Proverbs 18, verse 13, he who answers a matter before he hears it, it's folly and shame to him. Some people that don't, they ever hear the phrase, don't confuse me with the facts. He who answers a matter before he hears it, don't tell me the truth. Don't tell me what the Bible says. Don't tell me sound doctrine. No. It's folly and shame. So that's the lesson on being swift to hear. Next Sunday evening, Lord willing, be slow to speak. And it doesn't mean to talk slow. Slower than molasses flows in January. No, that's not the slow of speech. So we'll talk about, I mentioned, I think I come up with 15 different words that the Bible addresses concerning the tongue. Lying, slander, false witness, don't take the oath. There's about 15 different Bible words that have to do with the tongue. And I'll give you that list next week, said Lord willing. Always at the close of an assembly or the lesson, we send an invitation. And we sing a song of invitation, or song of, I always use words, exhortation. Gives you time to reflect on your relationship with God. If it's not right, you need to make a change. So we present that invitation that Jesus gave to his disciples right before he ascended back to the Father. Matthew 28, go into all the world. Make disciples of all the nations. Or sometimes you'll say teach all nations. But make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. And then in Mark 16, verses 15 and 16, go into all the world or preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. And that's the invitation we extend at the close of every lesson. And that's the invitation we extend tonight. If that's your desire, if that's your resolve, if that's the response you want to make tonight, just simply come and let us know at the close of this song. So let's stand together, and we use a song as a hymn of invitation and exhortation.